our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. Beginning today, a series on the fruits of the Spirit. Do you know any holy people? Do you know anyone to whom you would point a non-Christian and say, watch him, watch her? That's what a Christian looks like. What is it that makes that person attractive? And I'm talking, of course, about really holy people, not the holier-than-thou types who are most unattractive. What is it that convinces you that this person is a genuine Christian, worth emulating? It has the ring of reality, that life. Well, I think, if you analyze it, that what you're seeing is the fruits of the Spirit. Do you know what they are? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All the things the world is so short on. Very short. All the things that all of us are short on in some degree. We all need to learn more: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Where can we find these qualities? We find them in the one who lives his life in God. Whoever lives in love, the Bible says, lives in God. Love is the central truth of the spiritual life. There would be no love in the world if there were no God, because God is love. That was probably the first verse that many of you memorized when you were a child, and you just parroted it off in your little baby voice, God is love, God is love, not having the slightest idea what it really meant. The Bible also says we love because he first loved us. I know that the King James Version says we love him because he first loved us, but that word is not actually in the original. It's true, of course, that we love God because he first loved us, but we wouldn't love anybody if God were not himself love. Let me read to you what the Abbé de Tourville said. Remember that God loves your soul, not in some aloof, impersonal way, but passionately, with the adoring, cherishing love of a parent for a child. The outpouring of his Holy Spirit is really the outpouring of his love, surrounding and penetrating your little soul with a peaceful, joyful delight in his creature. Tolerant, peaceful, a love full of long-suffering and gentleness, working quietly, able to wait for results, faithful, devoted, without variableness or shadow of turning. Such is the charity of God. Such is the love of God. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. In Jeremiah 31:3, we read, I have dearly loved you from of old, and still I maintain my unfailing care for you. 1 John 4:16, God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God. Thus we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. He who dwells in love is dwelling in God, and God in him. That's an amazing thing to think of, God living in us. It's hard enough for me to think of my living in God, But to think that God lives in me, Christ lives in me, I really can't grasp that. I'm a vessel, I'm a clay pot, and in me is the life of Christ. In everyone who opens himself to Christ, surrenders, submits to the pressure of his love, and responds with joy. God pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given us. That's Romans 5:5. But we must be willing to receive, not by working hard, not by strenuous effort or good feelings, but by an honest, generous, deep putting of myself at his disposal, taking what he gives me, relinquishing what he takes. And that reminds me of the letter that I read a couple of days ago from the dear woman who is so eager for marriage. She wants what God has not yet given. She wants what God may never give. Instead of being thankful for what God has given, singleness is a gift. Marriage is a gift. Children are a gift. And some of you have broken hearts either because God has taken away a loved child or because God has never given you one. He is love. He gives us what love knows is best. Do we trust his love in all his dealings? Evelyn Underhill's definition is this: the fruits of the Spirit are those dispositions, those ways of thinking, speaking, and acting, which are brought forth in us gradually but inevitably by the pressure of the divine love in our souls. They all spring from that one root. And I think if you will study that list of the fruits of the Spirit, you will see that all of the last ones, everything except the first, which is love, springs from that first one. Out of love come joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me read Evelyn Underhill's definition again. The fruits of the Spirit are those dispositions, those ways of thinking, speaking, and acting, which are brought forth in us gradually but inevitably by the pressure of the divine love in our souls. Jesus said, "By their fruits you will know them." God is in the process of making a world which will manifest his own perfection and beauty. Insofar as you and I are willing to cooperate with him in that task of which my life is meant to be a part, in that measure I will produce his fruits. Did you get that? Most of us long to be more Christ-like, long for more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We know we're deficient. We know we need more than that. How do we get it? Well, here's the answer. Insofar as I am willing to cooperate with him in that task of which my life is meant to be a part, in that measure, I will produce his fruits. Any refusal to cooperate with what God is telling me will stultify the production of the fruits that God wants to produce in me. The test of my Christianity, the gauge of my prayer life, is the measure of my obedience. The measure of my obedience. When we tell the Lord we love him, perhaps he says to us, "Don't tell me, show me." Evelyn Underhill points out that St. Paul did not arrange this list of the fruits of the Spirit in a casual order. She says they represent a progressive series from one point, and that one point is love, the living, eternal seed from which all the rest grow. We all know that Christians are baptized into a life summed up in love, even though we have to spend the rest of our own lives learning how to do it. Love, therefore, is the budding point from which all the rest come. That tender, cherishing attitude, that unlimited self-forgetfulness, generosity, and kindness, which is the attitude of God to all his creatures, and so must be the attitude towards them which his Spirit brings forth in us. If that is frostbitten, we need not hope for any of the rest. What about that rude clerk in the post office? Are you supposed to love him? The neighbor who cut down the tree on your property? That disappointing minister in whom your whole church had placed so much hope when he came to you new and fresh out of seminary? That stubborn old parent? The tax people? The driver on the highway who cut you off, never even looked at you? Think about the fact that God loves those people. He doesn't just tolerate them.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.